Hello and welcome back to Bring a Mitt Podcast. The Bring a Mitt Podcast.
Oof. Hello.
So we were going to do something about related to stupid horror movie decisions. So if everyone's seen the YouTube channel, How It Should Have Ended. So we thought we'd do a little bit about how people make poor decisions and it turns into a film ending in a certain way when it could have been resolved quite a lot quicker. At least that was my interpretation of it. I think Tom's done something slightly different, where he's actually just examined the ending, which is, to be fair, that's actually interesting that we've got two different angles there.
Yeah,
I don't know what Rory's done.
Mine's the same as yours, Henry.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, because that's usually...
Mine's partly decisions and partly I didn't like the ending, so I think they should have done it differently.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I literally was purely modelling mine on the whole How It Should Have Ended YouTube channel, because it's so culturally big in film. Yeah. It was like before CinemaSins, I'd say. It wasn't before CinemaSins, but it was bigger. It was big before CinemaSins was big, I think. I've written all mine on paper, by the way. I wrote mine all down. I've got a page, an A4 page.
Proper old man, aren't you?
I don't know if it was necessary. I think I just kicked things off. I think I don't know if I should just do a really obvious one, because it was one I just had to mention. It was the 28 days one where they opened the cage at the start. So I guess How It Should Have Ended is like not a story at all. It should have ended by them staying there and then the news being like, "Oh, that was a close call." Because I'm not being funny. Like, you know when the... So I'll set the scene. This is bad of me to just assume just because you two have seen it. So there's a scene at the start where there's a rage virus with chimps in a cage, like a glass cage, and they carry a deadly virus. And the way the virus starts is activists come in and say, "Hey, don't hold these chimps and thingies." And then they let them out. And then that's how the rage virus starts. And I just think, like, I watched that scene back and she just opened it. She just, like, literally clicked something off camera and then opened it. There wasn't even, like, a bike chain. A bike chain might have bought him a bit of time to be like, "Hey, no, it's contagious and I've got a piece of paper in that drawer. Just check it first." Like, that would have done something. Or maybe an actual, Fort Knox level safe combination thing for something that intense.
A bit more security to get into the room.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, they just walked in, didn't they, really?
Yeah.
What if he wasn't there? Like, he was obviously doing a late shift. Like, that's honestly, that's like one of the luckier scenarios where the scientist was there to actually kind of warn him.
Yeah.
So I think that's a bit insane.
What was their plan in that circumstance as well? Were they just going to let them run around the building? Because she just opens the cage
That was my other thing. I was thinking they should have brought those things with the sticks and the wires that go around their necks or something. Although maybe they're like the classic like radical activists where they kind of just, this is the right thing, so consequences be damned.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was their angle where like they weren't really worried about chimps, which by the way can be very killer beings. Just running around
rage
free and loose.
Virus filled ones.
Oh yeah, no, but even if they don't consider the viruses, like they saw them bashing on the cage, there's no way they're just going to be like docile, you know, live alongside humanity.
So this is actually how it should have started.
Oh no, just it should have ended there, like that.
Yeah.
28 days later. Oh, this is what could have happened, but thank God we caught it in time. Yeah.
If we assume that's in London. The centre, then if they'd let them out and they actually got out of the building and they didn't have the rage virus, how likely is it that most of them are getting hit by a car, realistically?
I don't know. Pigeons avoid cars quite often.
Yeah, but pigeons have wings.
Yeah, but they don't... You see pigeons. They don't fly off. They walk off.
But nonetheless, it's not an environment that a chimp is going to live long in.
They take out a few people first.
I want to take this even further. And say that these scientists should never have had these apes in the beginning.
Yeah, that was silly. He probably should have just exterminated them as soon as he realised it was a
Jesus
big problem.
These things can kill the whole world if one of them gets out. Let's kill them, probably.
Let's not put the rage virus in them. Let's just leave them where they were.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout.
To be fair, you could probably do this with most zombie films.
Yeah.
Just stupid human decisions that end up killing the whole world.
I actually saw, I was trying to find inspiration last night, I'm not going to lie, because I couldn't think of a lot of films. I was looking through bad decisions in horror films, and there was one for a film I hadn't seen called Night of the Living, not like Return of the Living Dead, it's a George Romero film.
Yeah.
And they have these zombies in, like, not zombies, they're like reanimated corpses in these canisters at the bottom of this warehouse. and they're like US government property or something. And this guy's shown his mate it, and he pulls the flap up. And the guy's like, is this safe? And he's like, yeah, it's safe. This is made by the US government. And then he just whacks it, and all the gas comes out and reanimates them and turns them into zombies.
Is that a comedy?
It's like, yeah, most Romero zombie films are like dark comedies with like social commentary involved.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Maybe a bit of a explanation there.
It was just funny.
I've actually got like 8, so I'll probably riff off a few of them later. So I'll do some with explanation and one just short. But yeah, continue with someone else.
Well, I now that I've, because I was doing it very specifically how I would change the ending, but after you've done that one, I've gone through and looked at some, and I've got one that's just a stupid decision as well. So I'm going to go with The Menu.
Oh.
And my easy decision would be never spend that much money on food.
Yeah.
Never. Yeah.
I wouldn't say, I mean, I don't think that's most people's fine dining experiences. Mainly
well,
I've
yeah, I know, but that one specifically. Obviously, most activists' experiences wouldn't be ending the world by saving some monkeys.
Mm.
You know?
Could you imagine? By the way, why didn't they all just order burgers at the end?
Yeah, be like, can I have that too?
You know when it works for the girl? Like, can I have a cheeseburger? And this is just a bit of shit. Can we all have cheeseburgers? No, they all just sat there like, wow, that was really clever. Just
I feel like he would have been like, no, sorry, it only works once.
Hey, whoa, loophole. You can't just exploit the loophole. She found the loophole. It's patched it up. Yeah, thank you.
Surely you could change it a little bit and be like, could I have a hot dog? Or could I have
mac and cheese?
Yeah.
Oh no, I forgot the doggy bag. Oh, I'm gonna die. Yeah. For context, in that film, by the way, she gets out of a quite a sadistic experiment thing by ordering a burger and then saying, "Oh, I'm too full. Can I take it away with me?" And somehow that works, and somehow she gets out of a big murderous plot.
To be fair, I think it's more the fact that she sort of stood up to him and showed, sort of, was like the only one of the only people that sort of showed him any form of like respect, I guess.
Oh, I don't know. Well, I don't know if that's how I'd read that, because she was horrible to him a lot. And
yeah, well, I mean, not respect. Respect was the wrong word, but more the fact that like she's the one who really stood up to him and sort of went toe to toe with him. I don't think it was specifically the fact that she wanted to take it away.
It's a hard film to analyse because I think it is just a bit of fun.
Yeah.
I don't know, but anyway, who hasn't gone yet? I know.
Me.
I don't know if anyone counted.
Not me.
Not Hermione. For my one, I've got the film Creep.
Good film.
It is a good film, but the main character makes a very stupid decision once he escapes. What's his name? Joseph. For the first time, he stalks him. So, for context, in the film, the main character, I think his name's Aaron, goes through like an invitation through Craigslist to this guy's house to film a video for him because his son's allegedly dying from cancer. But he sort of finds out that this isn't true and the guy's a weirdo and he needs to get out before something bad happens.
He's a creep.
He's a creep. Yeah, exactly. And he finally he escapes this house after about, I don't know, 45 minutes of the film. But then he starts getting sent weird videos and messages from the guy. The police can't help him because they can't actually find him. And eventually he gets a call from his stalker. And he's like, meet me in this park and we'll sort this out. And for some reason,
he goes.
Yeah, the main character goes and just sits on a bench waiting for the guy with a camera set up behind him to protect him, allegedly. What he could have done.
He doesn't look behind him once.
No, he doesn't. Shocking.
He's,
I think
he's going to be in real trouble if I catch him on camera killing me.
The camera that he can then just take.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I think even Joseph says after that it was trusting of him to not look behind him, and that makes him his favourite victim.
he should have at least had some sort of confidant.
Like, exactly.
By the way, I might be meeting a murderer today with the camera. Yeah. You just like, I'm putting the camera here. If you don't hear from me, you just like investigate the camera and just, you know, send it to the journalist. I'll be fine.
Yeah. Or just have someone come with you.
My one change would be he brings the police with him instead, because then he could show him the guy that has been stalking him.
Yeah.
The police come and they sort of stand with the camera, and when he comes running over with the axe, they shoot him.
Yeah. That's a pretty clever change. Actually.
Or someone was there. He was sitting at a lake, wasn't he? Just to get someone at the opposite of a lake, or the opposite of the lake, just to, you know, text him if he sees someone right behind him.
Yeah.
Oh shit! There's a guy behind you with an axe.
Coach called one. He's there with an axe. That's a good. I don't know if I thought about that at the time. I remember just thinking, "Oh wow, that's a pretty ending." I don't. This could be quick, or you might have loads to expand on it. I've got A Quiet Place.
I've got
same.
That.
Look at us. I wonder if it's the same thing. No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, move by the waterfall and live a happy life.
No, mine's different.
Because they just go to the waterfall, yell, and it's like, oh wow, this is like a normal world. Like it's just free from the dystopia. And then I was like, so if they just put a shack by the waterfall. They can, like, you know,
talk,
open crisps and talk. And, like, I imagine that's where the baby was conceived. I had that written down as, like, a little sub note. Because they have to be quiet doing it.
Yeah, that's quite a good point.
It just seems like, just go by the waterfall, live a happy life. Those monsters could just walk past you and they'd be like, it's just the usual waterfall there. So it's slightly quiet stuff going on as well, but there's probably fish.
Do you think at the beginning there were loads of those monsters just randomly jumping and attacking the waterfall?
Until they started telling each other,
does it all the time.
Also, I refuse to believe they didn't have those, you know, those things that scare away like foxes and cats, like the high hertz sound thingies. Why didn't they use them? Because that must have been like so effective.
Yeah.
Like every time
they
just
couldn't
get
their hands on one.
Yeah, but I mean, it must be confusing like all the time. Like they must have had to destroy every single one of them.
Yeah.
Because it must have been unbearable. Like how are creatures able to like be born in a world, not be born, but like where like, I don't know how many houses would have had that, but it would have been hundreds of houses just in like the UK, for instance, would have had like those things just screeching.
They should have done a bonus feature about one stupid monster that was still attacking the waterfall after all these years after.
That's why they're able to use it. That one drowned, and then that's good.
Might as well do my Quiet Place one now.
Yeah, go for it.
It's more the fact that I think. Well, there's two ways you can look at this. I think the dad's stupid because at the end when they're getting attacked and he's like. Like, he's holding something, and then he just screams to get their attention.
Mm.
One, throw whatever you're holding and hit something, or just hit something a few times, and then move. So they go to where the sound was.
Maybe two, it had to be louder than the action, the stuff that was happening. Maybe it had to be louder.
Two, this is more of a personal thing. Obviously, it's not something the characters would have done. I didn't like any of the children. I found them all very annoying. If I was him, I wouldn't have saved them.
Mm.
And I think that's how it should have ended. They just pissed me off, and they got their brother killed.
Mm.
Well, one of them did, but
she was
deaf. It wasn't her fault. Yeah, they were having another one.
Could have easily replaced him.
Yeah, exactly. Like John Krasinski, you need to do better there.
Yeah.
There's no way he wasn't annoyed by them.
My version of that was that at the beginning when they're searching for medicine. Instead of all of them going in the shop, just John Krasinski goes in and he gets the medicine and then they walk on without the toy.
Yeah, that's clever.
And then they don't have to, they probably don't have another child because they don't feel like there's something missing in their life. The girl doesn't feel bad because she feels like it was her fault for not taking it away from him or whatever.
And then they can move near a waterfall.
And they can move near a waterfall, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They could go to the biggest one. They can make their way over to...
Do you know where it would be unreal?
Niagara Falls,
yeah.
Yeah.
Why are they not living there? They could live on the boat, the big tour boat.
Mm.
There's just like loads of dead creatures at the bottom of it.
Perfect. There's got to be some other natural things that are quite loud.
An airport.
Yeah, I don't know if that's natural.
Mm.
Yeah, because I think...
I don't know how many planes would be taken off in this world.
Well, there is a bit in the second one where a plane crashes.
Mm. I've just realised, like, the first tornado that would have happened, like, they just all run to the tornado and die.
They got stuck up in it, yeah.
Dead. Thank God that's the end of that.
That's like War of the Worlds, where it's like it was a completely human condition that killed the monsters. Yeah. The tornado. Yeah.
Did we ever find out in A Quiet Place Part 2 where they... I haven't seen the second one. Do we find out where they come from? Yeah. Are they aliens or something?
I've only seen it once in the cinema. I don't think so.
Oh, okay. No, they didn't discuss it.
Yeah. I preferred the second one.
I haven't seen it. I will probably see it. Anyway, good. I'm going quality over quantity. I'm going to basically skip... Maybe I'll riff through them in the end, but I'll skip past my ones where I'm not as sure if they're great. I'll quickly say this, the Halloween one, and it was I saw it pointed out to me. I didn't think of this myself. Mm. This was the one where it said Laurie Strode should have just moved out the area.
Is this the first Halloween or just...
This is the remake. General. This is the remake. Yeah. So when she's like old and stuff, like she's still in the area. Wow. Or was it that one? There's one where she's still in the area. And like you think if he had escaped the prison, or if he'd have returned and she wasn't already in the area, she could have been like, okay, I won't visit this month because he's walking around knife wielding. So anyway, I didn't want to stay on that for too long because I didn't think that was amazing. Another quick one I had actually was in The Weeping Angels. I just thought, camp in a corner. Ring every authority there is. Put a Facebook post in some sort of community thing. Saying, guys, a lot of weeping angels here could do with a few eyes.
I don't know how many people would look at that and go, yeah, I should go to that.
Yeah, what the or fuck just, is that? What are weeping say, angels?
Or just say there's a Charizard on Pokemon Go and just get everyone to come over.
Its time.
Yeah, well, we know. I'm just saying, if you call the police or something, suddenly you've got a few more eyes on these weeping angels and you get a bit.
Yeah.
Or put camp in the corner. Do what you do on, like, on Cold World of War and just find a corridor or something where you just can put your back to it. It doesn't matter if one of you blinks because you're not going to blink at the same time.
We've got the most obvious cheat for this. Mm. Do one eye at a time.
Oh, yeah. Well, Karen Gillan.
That's the most obvious.
Or Amy
cheat.
Pond. Kind of figured that out.
Yeah.
Even though she used that and then she was like, oh, I've just forgotten that. That was a thing I could do.
Did anyone ever try and just break the legs of them while they were statues?
That's one thing. It's a statue. Stone. It's not invincible.
Yeah,
if I had
but
a
you
sledgehammer,
could...
I could break a statue.
Did get something have a fucking big. Yeah, well, they might have found one.
I would
one.
Bring one if I was worried about running into... Like, in the TARDIS, there's definitely loads of stuff. There's
Amy,
so much
get the sledgehammer.
Yeah, there's so much stuff. If I was...
Get the sonic sledgehammer.
in the Byzantium one, if we landed and then they were like, oh, by the way, Doctor, there's weeping angels down there. There's a weeping angel down there. You know the sledgehammer closet. Get two.
There's been a weeping angel up there.
Don't worry, I'll deal with it.
They literally say in the show that they become exact stone. They don't become some like really hard stone. You could break a stone with a sledgehammer.
They really missed a trick there.
They did.
The main one I was going to do, because I didn't mean for that one to be a long one, was Valak in Conjuring 2.
Yes.
So there's a few. I actually, like, I was walking down, I think, was it? I was walking down the A road, which I've just realised I won't name in case we have any weirdos. But I was walking down A Road and I came up with a few ideas. I came up with a few ideas of things that kind of could have just easily been solved either in the point of view of the protagonist in Conjuring 2 or by Valak. So you know, like it short, whatever it does, it shortens the film by about 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's at that finale bit where she's like, oh, hang on, I just realized how I can destroy this demon. I know its name because, I mean, why? For some reason, she told, or the demon told Lorraine the name somehow, and she wrote it down. But I was just thinking, like, okay, so the first thing I thought was, oh, God, Valak could have really nipped this in the bud. As soon as she was in the room, she was like, the power of knowing your name gives me dominion over you, demon. Valak would have been like, oh, shit, I think she might know my name, and just flick her, like, neck into breaking or set her on fire or do one of those things she does in The Nun 2. So she could have easily fixed that as soon as she started doing it. Like, she actually had a big surprise expression when she actually said the name after she was doing this big build-up monologue. Oh, I know your name! And she was like, ha, bet you don't.
He's lying. So I know.
So she could have sorted that out pretty quickly.
No way also, she could have found it in the book.
Yeah. Also, it came up in my head that she could have pronounced it wrong. Or she'd gone like, Valen.
Valen.
No, that's not going to pass.
Slightly wrong.
I'm going to need you to try once more, and then that's it. and by the way, also, how close would the pronunciation have to be before she, like, dissipates?
Yeah, well, she goes, there's actually a silent A.
Yeah.
It's flat.
What if it was someone with a speech impediment that couldn't say L? L was like weird like that. They're doomed. No, but okay. No, but the main thing was, because I feel like, okay, let's do it for the protagonist here. So she knows Valak's name. She needs to say Valak, right? I imagine Valak needs to hear her shout Valak. I don't know if it counts if she just says it.
I'm sure someone in the world at some point would have just said those words.
Yeah.
And just like immediately swearing. Killed her.
What the hell? The remote switch, yeah. No, but I was just thinking, like, she could just open some of the windows and just shout Valak through them.
Mm.
Like, just climb up to the top one, maybe. Open the window and shout, Valak!
Valak, cooey!
Like, just you hear her in one room just, like, going away because she's been found out. I just thought, why don't you just, like, sort of say it through the windows rather than... Like, or just shout through the window. I imagine you're audible enough.
Mm.
And it's easier than going in the house and making sure you can see her while it happens. Unless you had to do the whole monologue, I don't know.
You've actually brought up a good point for almost all, like, ghosts or monsters in every horror film, where for some reason they spend 4 days trying to mess with them. Mm. Just kill them straight away.
Yeah.
Like, you've got the power. You're a demon. You could set people on fire immediately.
Well, that's paranormal activity. Because
they're going to figure out a way to kill you.
Yeah, paranormal activities. They basically spend the whole film perfectly escalating things to an hour and a half.
Yeah,
perfectly escalating. Like, first it was like, I don't know, like a sugar jar moves slightly, then the sugar jar moves more or something, I don't know, and then something smashes, but not near anyone, so it didn't hurt anyone. And then by the end of the film, it's like, bone cracking throw across the room, but they kind of like they perfectly escalate. So, like, if you want out of this deal, you can just leave the house.
Maybe they need to charge up a bit.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. But then obviously they're using their charge every time they do. Mm. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, next one.
So this one is, again, it's more of an issue with the ending of the film more than the decisions, especially when the second one came out. So I'm going to go with the boy. I like the fact that they were like, oh, this is a twist. It's not really a haunted boy. But it should have been. It would have been better.
I am a haunted boy.
Yeah. Haunted doll, not boy. Brahms the boy. They should have made it a haunted doll because it would have been, like, I know they do that all the time, but the way the film was going, it should have been that way. Especially considering that when they released the second film, Brahms the Boy 2, which is an awful name, by the way, they just made him a haunted boy again. They were like, in the first one, he's not a haunted boy. He's just a doll. And this guy lives in the walls and moves him slightly, I guess. And then in the second one, they're like, no, he is a haunted boy. He's been killing people for generations.
Imagine in this guy's wife being like, where's the haunted boy?
But like, either don't bring out the second one, just completely erasing everything in the first one, or just make the first one good and have a good ending.
I feel like, how far apart are these films?
Like 2-3 years.
Oh, okay. So it didn't turn into like Haunted Teenager or anything.
No. He's
still
adult.
A boy. Thank God for that.
I have haunted hormones, but I can't control them.
They call up the actor. They go, "Hi, yeah, it's the producer for the Haunted Boy films or whatever."
Haunted adolescent.
Are you still a boy, or are you moving into adolescence? Okay, great. Thank you. We'd like to get you back, providing you are still a boy. We will be checking.
Luckily, dolls don't tend to age.
Yeah, that is perfect.
But the boys in the walls do, the ones that control them and then die, and then somehow it's actually haunted. Stupid fucking film.
He should do
that's more. This is more of a personal gripe with the two films because I don't like them and I don't like the way they go.
And you saw both of them.
Yeah.
Okay, Roy.
my next one is every fucking hour. I can't stop coughing. Every Evil Dead film. When they find the book, read it in your head. Don't read it out loud.
Yeah, that's like, yeah.
Who reads out loud anyway, actually?
That's it does my head in. It's stupid. They read passages that are written in blood on a book of skin, yeah. And they're like, I'm going to read this out loud. This probably won't summon anything.
Like, even probably if you don't think it's going to summon it, who reads things out loud? Like, 5-year-olds.
And they always feel the edge of the book first, and they're like, this feels like skin. And they're like, I'm going to open it nonetheless.
I suppose it could just be leather.
At least in the most recent one, again, he doesn't read it.
No, it's a record, isn't it?
But still, don't do that. Also, if I was in the most recent one, I would listen to the third one first.
Yeah.
Go from the back, just in case. Or at least after listening to the first one, I would move to the third one because I'm like, this is going in a weird way.
If you listen
to the third one, they're like, oh, no, actually, no, I wouldn't listen to the third one first, sorry. If I was the priest, I would label the third one number one so people listen to that first so his warning works. Because he's like, don't do any of this, don't do any of this. But you've labeled it three. They're going to listen to it last.
Urgent.
If you listen to it in reverse order, would it make a nice demon? Because it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Guys, how do you want to get in trouble with
the haunted boys?
Yeah. I can be your daddy.
Oh, don't say that
again, quite helpful,
please.
Actually. Yeah, I was thinking more screwed up demon. Like, he just comes in, he's like a useless blob.
You haven't got to be anything. Get off the sofa.
It's like Slimer from Ghostbusters.
You could, like, or just can't see. Like, he possesses the thing, and he just, I don't know, his head's turned backwards. He can't see. He's just useless.
I kill you.
But later,
or he's just Australian, suddenly, which Alyssa Sutherland could have done as well because she's Australian. right. I reckon one more because it's a nice tight episode. I have used my best ones though, unfortunately. One second.
Okay.
I think. Oh yeah, this is a small one. This is quite a small one. It was the Scream films. So the latest film, that scene where they're in a train.
Yeah,
and they're all like dressed up as Scream things. I just feel like in that particular scenario, like as police, wouldn't you just be like, yeah, so there have been like 6 films so far of these killers dressing up only as this. There's never been any other instance where they dress up as something slightly different. There's been no variation whatsoever. Let's just ban this specific costume and see what happens.
Yeah. You're wearing this. Also, for that scene specifically, if I was on the group of people that went on the first train, I'd get off at the next stop, and then wait for the next one to come and then get on so we're all together.
Also, yeah, why were they together? Are they part of the Scream Club? But they weren't even talking. They weren't talking to each other. They were all just hanging around, like, all isolated, looking like they could be the killers.
yeah, menacingly staring at everyone.
Unless the next train had even more. Gosh darn it.
Didn't they have to stay on the train because they were getting across town to save their friend? Isn't that the reason they stayed?
No, they were getting across town to do the trap, but two of them didn't get on the first train and had to get on the next one. And they're like, oh no, what are they doing? What are they on the other train? What are we going to do? Just get off at this next stop, wait for the next train, get on, what, be 4 minutes late? Just do that. And then you're all together. One of you won't get stabbed. You'll all go in the thing together.
One thing I don't get about that as well is one of the the one who eventually turns out to be the killer, who is actually the one who goes out and, so spoilers here, so skip ahead 30 seconds. The one who turns out to actually be the scream killer, who goes and, oh no, you're right, you've been stabbed, it seems. So wouldn't you just be like,
it seems.
wouldn't you just be like, so if you're like assisting the killer, so presumably the other killer is the one who did it, and then he was like on hand. Wouldn't you kind of just quickly text her in the corner? Yeah, you didn't quite finish the job. Do you want to come back quickly? Just do it again. Or do you just not help her and be like, act like you were killed as well, or you were kidnapped? Why would you actually go and help her? Weren't they fighting on the same team here? Weren't they trying to kill her? It seemed weird. Like, oh no, we need to be super convincing. We just tie up loose ends.
My biggest issue with this film is that apparently there were zombies and can only be killed through headshots.
Yeah, but I mean, but that's part and package, isn't it?
It didn't used to be like that.
Didn't it?
I don't think so.
I think it was always like that.
Like, not so much in the earlier ones. Like, if you got stabbed once or twice, that was it. Fucking whatever his name is, gets stabbed 6 times in a 2022 film, and then another, like, 10 times in this one, and he's like, no, I'm good, man. Don't even worry about it. I've been stabbed 16 times.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, that's me spent.
Again, this one is not so much a decision in the film. You could probably pick through loads of decisions in this film. But I've gone with Saw, and it's a short and simple one. I think how this should have ended is this should have been the last one, and then they never made any more because they're all bad after this.
Which one?
That's Saw. I think they should have left it at this. That's how they ended it. Yeah, they should have ended it by just saying, this is it.
Oh, I don't know.
Never again. We're not.
Door X was reasonable.
It was better than most of them, but I wouldn't say it was
understand.
Good.
I completely understand having more Saw films after the first one.
I get it, but I feel like it's definitely set up a legacy and it's set up a lot of money. But I feel like having so many average, mediocre, and just downright horrible films after has actually damaged the reputation of a really good first film.
Yeah, but I think that sort of result rather than intention, isn't it? Like, I think.
I don't think they intended to do it.
I think I'm
but
just
this
saying,
is
like,
how it should have ended. We're talking about hindsight here. Mm. They should have ended it by not making any more.
I don't know. It's a pretty creative and unique also, serial killer, or not specifically a serial killer. It's a pretty like unique one at large at that point. Mm, I feel like you always had to make a few more films. It was just that
also
it turned out to be great.
The Saw films led to one of my least favorite types of movies, and that is the torture porn movie.
I still haven't seen Terrifier or anything like that.
I hate those films.
Is it more cringy than Saw?
It's got a much lower budget. At least the first one does. The acting's a bit worse. I'd say it's quite cringy.
When I say also cringy, I mean actual cringy, like wincy.
Oh yeah, no. There's some fucking tense bits in that and they just show you it all.
Yeah. Okay. And right, concluding, Rory.
I have The Conjuring 3. The Devil Made Me Do It.
I never saw that.
Right. So in this film, there is a moment at the start where they're doing an exorcism, and there is the main protagonist who later on does some bad things is present, and Patrick, what's the guy's name in The Conjuring? The main guy, Patrick something, the actor?
Patrick Wilson. Yeah.
He claims he sees a devil, like a demon, going into this guy called Arne. And then later on, this guy called Arne stabs his landlord 16 times. In real life, this is based on a true story. This guy just killed someone.
Yeah.
And then these two guys, basically, Lorraine and Ed Warren, tried to get him off of it through possession or whatever.
Yeah, because in real life, he wasn't possessed.
Exactly. In the film, the police should have just prosecuted a murderer who had obviously had severe mental issues instead of hiring demon hunters, because demons aren't real.
And yeah, the film makes it out to be like he was innocent, guys. He didn't do it. The devil made him do it. And I'm like, this is a true story. This is very harmful. What if one of the family of that landlord was watching this and be like, oh, they've painted my father's murderer out to be a really nice guy.
Exactly. It's terrible.
Yeah, no. Unless, obviously, I don't know the specifics of the true story unless there was more going on. But the way they present it, they're like, this is a true story. This man was possessed and killed someone. And I was like, no, he didn't.
I'm just reading about the case now. Apparently, he did get manslaughter charges.
But that's not manslaughter.
When was it?
No, why was that?
I'm trying to find out here.
The devil made them.
Apparently, they tried to do a plea that he was possessed, but the judge said no, quite clearly, because that's not a real thing. Apparently, it was at a party, and maybe he was intoxicated or something like that.
That's not manslaughter. Maybe someone 16 times is never manslaughter.
You just take a swig before you were going to do anything like that, and then.
I think he had something. I don't know what mental illness, but he had a mental illness because he was seeing visions, apparently. And then it was made worse by drinking heavily after to try and get rid of them. And I think that's when it happened.
Were the police on standby in this film? Were they like, okay, well, you can try the sexism, but we're on hand with handcuffs if this doesn't work?
I think he was in jail for most of the film. And Ned and Lorraine Warren were hunting down this
witch.
Well,
if he murders you, it's on your head, be it.
Yeah.
Because he has a track record. Well, I thank you for coming to the Bring It podcast.
I thank you too.
I also thank you.
That was awful. Oh, bye.
Oh, sorry.
Bye.